It's also Father's Day, so I want to honor the fathers as well as the graduates. Let me start off this way. Our families struggle right now with our children. I have two children going on 13 and who just turned 11. The biggest problem for us, struggle for us, is a screen time for our children as well as for myself and my wife. How much time they spend on electronic devices such as the computers or iPads and the phones and so on. It's almost a daily struggle, and many of you can identify with me on that. The rule at our house is 1 hour a day on weekdays and 2 hours on weekends, okay? And so after that, which is almost impossible to monitor, after some time I'll tell them, you've been on it for more than an hour, or you've been on it for more than 2 hours, or sometimes 3-4 hours. I know that it's been more than an hour, so shut it off, leave it downstairs. Look at the look on their faces when I say that. They do not like it one bit. They give me the stink eye whenever I tell them that. And if I can just get into their heads as to what they're thinking whenever I say to them, shut it down, they must be thinking something like, Daddy is so unfair. Why is it taking away from us that which makes us happy? If I had it my way and unlimited time on the electronic devices, I'll be happier, right? But why do I limit their time? Do I just want to be mean? Do I not like them? Do I hate them? No, I love them. The reason why I limit their electronic device time on themselves and also to us is because I want them to have the maximum happiness. I want them to be happy forever, permanently. However, in order to give them that lasting and permanent happiness, sometimes I have to take away their temporary happiness, right? In the form of entertainment on electronic devices. And you all understand this naturally, right? Intuitively, that sometimes we have to limit ourselves or limit the ones that we truly love, what they find happiness in temporarily, so that they can have a lasting and true and permanent happiness. For example, just a couple days ago, at my staff lounge, there was a cheesecake, right? This round, individually sliced cheesecake, and I looked at the calorie content. 700 calories. So, right? I really want to, this will please me a lot. This will give me temporary happiness. But I said, no, I'm just walking away. Walk away, right? And walked away. Why? Because I'm looking for my permanent, more lasting happiness, right? So I resisted or restricted myself from temporary happiness so that I can have a lasting, more permanent happiness. And that's what self-love looks like. And that's what love does. And that is a very definition of love, if you thought about it. Love is doing that which will make your beloved happy permanently and forever. Right? Doing whatever will make that person happy permanently, lastingly, preferably forever. That's what love does. So let's turn this around. Why would God, our Father, sometimes withhold, which is obviously good for us, or even bring hard times on us that we don't like? Why does God make us unhappy when He is in control of everything? He can remove all obstacles from our lives, but He does not. Why does He sometimes bring, our theology says, bring trouble onto us? Not simply allow trouble, but He brings trouble onto us. One of the most frequent questions that I get from the people that who know that I'm a pastor is, if God loves me, then why doesn't He ... fill in the blank. If God loves me, then why doesn't He give me a husband? If God loves me, then why doesn't He take away my addiction? If God loves me, why doesn't He heal my body? If God loves me, then why doesn't He change my children to behave and obey me? If God loves me, then why doesn't He change my wife or my husband? The reason why God does not is precisely because He loves you. The reason why God does not act according to how we want Him to act, why he withhold happiness, temporary happiness from us is because he loves us and he wants permanent happiness for us. You understand this, right? It works exactly the same way between me and my children and God and us who are his children. Taking away temporary unhappiness so that we can have a more lasting, permanent happiness. That's God's goal. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 spells this out so acutely. And this is what he says. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons or daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, who spanked us. I believe in spanking, by the way, right? I think it takes them out of misery rather than dragging on and on and on about what you want them to do and try to convince them to do. But God disciplined us and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he, God, disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. Can we say amen to that? We don't like discipline, right? We don't like it. Rather than pleasant, but later it yields. Listen, later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God takes away our temporary happiness so they can give us a more permanent and lasting happiness. Sometimes God will take away what is earthly from us, such as our business, money, or even health, so that we may look forward to the heavenly things. Sometimes, other times, God will allow us to face failure despite our best efforts, so that we may rely on him entirely. Still other times, God will devastate us and strip us bare because he wants us to get rid of that sin in us that will eventually kill us for good. But one thing that we cannot question is this. One thing that we cannot question in all of this is his love for us. God's love for us. What is the proof of God's love? He did not spare his son for us. That is the proof of God's love. The ultimate, decisive, end it all, be all type of proof that God loves us is that he did not spare his son for us. My favorite verse in the Bible, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The strongest argument in the Bible or anywhere that God loves us is in this verse, that he did not spare his son for us. The strongest argument that you can have as to God loving you is not the fact that God lets you get a 4.0 on your GPA, right? It's not the fact that he lets you go into the college of your dreams. It's not the fact that you just got a boyfriend or a girlfriend or you just got married. That's not the strongest argument that you can have for the fact that God loves you. None of that. No, the strong argument that you and I can ever have that God loves us is that he did not spare his son for you and me. John Piper preached one of the most memorable sermons on this, and he posed this one question. Think about this question. What is the greatest hindrance or obstacle for yours and my salvation? What is the greatest obstacle or hindrance for God to save us? In other words, what is the biggest problem that God faces in saving you and me? What do you think the greatest problem is for God in order to save us? Our sin? No. Our disobedience? No. Satan? Not a chance. You know what it is? It's his love for his son. That's his greatest obstacle. That's his greatest problem in saving us. You know why? Because in order for him to save us, he had to sacrifice his son. He loves his son. He does not want to sacrifice his son. But he knows that the only way you and I can be saved and be with him forever in heaven is that he sacrificed his only begotten son who has been with him from eternity to eternity. If it came down to saving the church, saving all of you, or one of my daughters, that would be a tough decision, but I think I'm going to decide for saving my daughters. Okay, I'm sorry for being selfish, but if you're a parent, you guys probably would make the same choice, right? If saving 80, 90 people versus one of my children, I think I'm going to go with my child, right? What would it take for me to think, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice one of my daughters? As a matter of fact, if I only had one daughter, I'm going to sacrifice her in order to save these people. How difficult do you think that will be? No, I'd rather die. I'd rather die to have let that happen to my daughter, right? And that's the choice that God had to make. The most difficult decision God had to make was to decide to save us as he sacrificed his only begotten son. I believe God allowed us to experience fatherhood or motherhood just so that we can understand this one verse. I am convinced the reason why God made us, some of us, become fathers or mothers is so that we can understand just this one verse that says, "He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Listen, we make a mockery out of God's love when we question God's love because we got fired, or because we got hurt, or because we broke up from a significant relationship, or because we didn't get what we want. Because God has given us the maximum display of love in not sparing his son. He can't do more. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do not doubt God's love for you. Let's pray.